We've reached the second last chapter of the Apostle Paul's first letter to Timothy. And I have to be honest to say that during my preparation, I have been sorely tempted to skip this chapter and prepare from chapter 6. However, in the words of the hymn writer, I have chosen to yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you the next victory to win. So I went back to chapter 5, and with the Holy Spirit's help, I think I have found peace with the message for us all this morning. Timothy is recorded as being young, but well-versed in Scripture, an able speaker in spreading the gospel of Jesus, a former team member with Paul, Barnabas, and Silas, but he was inexperienced in leading or shepherding a congregation. We already know from the previous chapters that Timothy's first experience in leading or shepherding a congregation was to a congregation where there were already identified problems. Paul, being, I'm sure, very aware of the many issues that come up in a congregation of believers, is ready to give practical advice and support to Timothy as he pastors his first flock. You may not have realized, but it was normal practice for Paul's letters to be read out to the congregation, which meant that Paul was seen to fully endorse what Timothy was advised to put into practice. Because Paul was well acquainted with the believers in Ephesus and probably many of their circumstances, so he is quite able to be specific about certain things. You know, it would be easy to dismiss this chapter as being specific to those times and to that church and to Timothy's situation alone. However, I've come to realize that there are principles of godly leadership seen in this chapter which apply through all of the ages. Paul reminds us that in a family of Christians, as we are a church family, respect is to be shown. This is seen in the first few verses, where Timothy is encouraged to deal gently with older men and women, treating them as if they were members of his own family. Have you ever watched someone struggle with something you regard to be straightforward and easy to deal with? Have you felt the frustration, perhaps, of having to deal with someone who makes the same mistakes time after time? Or perhaps someone whose short-term memory loss causes them to ask the same question over and over again? Have you been the person who suddenly explodes, "Oh, for goodness sake, will you?" ... It's so easy to do, isn't it? And Paul here anticipates how Timothy may become impatient with the older folk who have become set in their ways and resist anything new from this young whippersnapper. And so Paul reminds Timothy of his own upbringing, not only by his mother, but also by his older grandmother. Gentleness in how we approach life in general as Christians, and sometimes where we are in conflict. Gentleness and respect is something which reflects Jesus' nature and draws people toward Jesus, whereas an aggressive approach turns people away. Paul goes on to tell Timothy that in the church family, care is given. Following on from his advice to be gentle and respectful in his dealings, from verse 3 through to verse 16, Paul goes on to give practical and structured advice on the subject of caring for the flock. Paul has highlighted the work of the Ephesian church in terms of those who are widowed. In our day and age, the state has taken on some of that care. But the principles of caring laid out for us in this chapter are still kind of relevant. Paul urges Timothy to provide for those who are in need. That is, for those people who have no family to support them, or are too old, or perhaps disabled. those people who have no or few means to support themselves. Of course, need can't be measured in financial terms alone. Need can be found in many other ways. In this church, we support the needy by bringing our donations for the food bank. Are there other ways that we as a church fellowship can care for the needy around us? What could we do for the housebound, the lonely, the disenfranchised people of Aberdeen? I'm quite sure that given the people here this morning, we could come up with a number of different ideas and potential schemes to help those in need. But here is the crux on which any such idea or scheme may founder. Who will run it? Who will do the work? The book of Proverbs tells us, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." That's in Proverbs 19, verse 17. "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God." That's found in Proverbs 14, verse 31. These thoughts bring us to another area where Timothy is to express and to show godly leadership, that of stewardship. We as believers in any fellowship are required to give to the work of our church family. And the church is required to use that money and or time volunteered responsibly. As well as the continual problem of staffing church work, there is also the question of how we distribute the assets the church has to have the godliest effect. We need to ensure that we are seeking God in our decisions, both individually and also as a church. Sometimes, rather than just providing money to someone in need, the best thing we can do is to provide help in other ways. I know that there are churches, for example, who have volunteers who have trained to become debt counsellors, or who can provide nursing care, mental health counsellors, marriage counselling, and even sometimes train to be at the end of a phone for the Samaritans. Of course, the greatest need of all that we as Christians have to meet is that of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we bring people to the cross, where Jesus can take their burdens and give them the certainty of eternal life. Let's move on to verses 17 to 25. Paul reminds us that in a church family, respect is shown, care is given, and leadership is followed. In verses 17 to 21, Paul directs Timothy's attention to the elders and pastors in the church. This time, he is not talking in terms of age, being elderly. He is now talking about church leadership. These are the people who have been recognized for their dedication in following Jesus in every aspect of their lives. People who are recognized as being godly. And we spoke about that the last time I was speaking in 1 Timothy 4. We need to pray regularly for our fellowship's leaders. We need to pay those who serve the fellowship well. The principle that has been used in this church since ever I became a member has been how much can we pay our pastor, and not how little can we get away with paying. That's why our leadership used the recommended stipend for Baptist pastors and staff members set by the Baptist Union each year as a minimum, and pay as much over that figure as is possible within the bounds of good stewardship. Verses 17 and 18 of 1 Timothy 5 cover that aspect. But then in verses 19 to 20, we come to a subject that has been a stumbling block for many churches. What happens when an elder or a pastor falls into sin? We are very fortunate in our fellowship right now that we do not have an active rumour mill. Currently, we do not have what might be called favouritism of one or more of those people in leadership. Unfortunately, from time to time, division will appear in church fellowships, sometimes over a leadership decision, and sometimes due to a pastor or an elder committing sin in their personal life. Paul is very clear to Timothy in how such things should be dealt with. The sin needs to be agreed and confirmed by the provision of at least two or three witnesses, then dealt with publicly by confronting that person and the church issuing a rebuke should it be necessary. I am very aware that this is a subject we would all prefer never to address, but Paul, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, gives Timothy and us some clear principles for dealing with those situations. Church leadership is no easy matter. Pray that our leaders in the church are kept free from sin. Pray that the role does not overwhelm them. Pray that they are kept away from temptation. And pray that they will know the presence of the Holy Spirit hour by hour. And finally, and importantly, that they will know that their service is being appreciated by all of us in the fellowship as we follow their lead. What else does Paul have for Timothy in this part of his letter? Paul has reminded Timothy that in the church family, respect is shown, care is given, leadership is followed and supported, and finally, in these last few verses of chapter 5, he tells Timothy that purity is to be sought after. Paul says in verse 22, "Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure." Purity can be very hard to attain, because it is so easy to be impure in any of a number of ways. There's not just one area of life to consider, but many. Paul reminds Timothy to seek to be pure. Paul takes this opportunity to give Timothy some personal advice regarding drinking wine. Timothy has made it a habit to drink only water. And here Paul tells him that the usual way of drinking amongst his peers would be to mix his water with some wine. That was the norm. Now, here there is a balance to be struck in seeking after purity. Drunkenness is clearly identified as being a sin. But we all know that having one drink does not lead to drunkenness and therefore being impure. We need to find the balance between actual sinning and legalism. I was brought up in a time when my parents believed it was wrong to go to the pub. It was wrong to go to the cinema. It was wrong to go dancing. It was wrong to join the army. I have learned over time that we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to make decisions based on what the Bible says and how the Holy Spirit directs us, and to be careful that we don't fall into legalism. I personally am very aware of how hard it is, for example, for an alcoholic to recover. And when I know that such a person is in my company, I will not take alcohol myself. We need purity of lifestyle, and we need to avoid the two extremes. We don't want to go beyond Scripture and condemn things as simple that the Bible does not address. Instead, we seek the balance between what is seeking to be pure and seeking always to do the right thing at the right time. We need to be guided by the Bible and by God's Holy Spirit within us. Paul writes in Galatians 5 and 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Godly leadership of our church leads us to live as a church family, where respect is shown, care is given, leadership is followed and supported, and we all, as members of God's family, seek to be pure. Amen.